Hello everybody, welcome back to the No Sleep Unless podcast. Today I'm going to be reading through the series, I Just Want to Make You Happy, But Women Around Me Keep Dying. This is by the user Polenium Poisoning. I have no clue if I pronounced that right. Actually, I probably should have looked up how to pronounce that. But this is a 5-part series, I think. Don't quote me on that. I'm actually going to double check before I get that wrong. So this story is, and Reddit isn't loading, I think it's around 5 parts. So let's jump into this. The last memory I'll ever have of my mother is her coughing intensely and telling me that her last terrible secret. The light then vanished from her eyes at only 40 years old, when I was still a boy, underage and forlorn. It's ludicrous to introduce myself by saying this, but I was always considered extremely handsome. Good looks brought lots of advantages, but the moment she was gone, I was still the only motherless 17-year-old I knew. Having everyone I knew make an effort to console me was, of course, way nicer than not having anyone. Still, I felt more like I was a piece of art that was either stolen or ruined. People were mourning the loss of my glee and empathizing with me like I was a person. In other words, I felt the kind of loneliness that comes when you're surrounded by people that would never see you as human. And I am one. At least. Half of one. Danny, your father was an incubus. I'm so, so sorry. Aunt Carly was only my mom's half-sister, and they were mostly estranged, but she knew that I didn't have any other family. If you won't cause trouble, and if you won't mind changing states, I have a spare room, she offered. Her intentions kinder than her voice. She was one of those strong-willed, cigarette-smoking women in their 50s. I thanked her, and having no other way to fend for myself in the world, I accepted her invitation. Since I was nearly an adult, Aunt Carly had pretty much only had to make sure that I had a roof above my head, and she did. I grew to like this semi-renovated apartment where we lived, and although it had way too much natural sunlight in my opinion, something that clearly came from my half-demon nature. I was able to fit in perfectly in my new school, despite intruding senior year halfway through, another courtesy of my inhumanly good looks. Even the other straight boys liked me, almost revered me like a guru. It was unnerving, but still way better than the other option. I wasn't mentally in a place where I could add bullying to my pile. "Do you have a profession in mind?" Aunt Carly asked me. "I see you're pretty smart. It'll be a shame if you don't educate yourself." "I want to be a psychologist," I informed her. The kind, empathetic part of my nature came from my mother, of course. "You know, your mom left some money, but it won't be enough. Gotta find you a nice job." "Can you?" I asked, surprised. "You can go anywhere with a face like this." My aunt's boss is a woman in her early 40s named Samantha. I started off by cleaning her pool, a hell of a job if I'm being honest. But she tipped generously. "I'm not only paying you for the job, but for the show," she remarked, as they worked shirtless. You can see where this is going. She waited exactly until my 18th birthday to put her hands all over me, pretended to fall in the pool to have me catch her and all. Now I have to make a little pause to explain that, due to my half-demonic nature, ever since I became a teenager, I had an incredibly high sex drive, to the point of feeling physically ill, if I wasn't constantly fucking around. Luckily, finding partners was never a problem, and I've always been paranoid about getting someone pregnant. So despite being a hell of a womanizer, I was way more careful than you'd expect from a guy that age. Samantha was the first unprotected sex I ever had. It seemed to be something that particularly turned her on. I became a boy toy from then on, and not only put myself through college thanks to her, but I also helped my aunt to not lose her house. Let's say old Carly was fighting her own battles, including a severe alcohol problem and being cut from both her daughters' lives due to it. The only downside was that I started having awful nightmares about a little girl living in a filthy orphanage, suffering all forms of neglect and depression. Probably some life ruined by my father, a sister even, I told myself. I had started building up a horrible hatred towards him inside me. Samantha and I lasted nearly a year until she unexpectedly got awfully sick. She was rich enough to be seen by the best doctors in the country, but no one knew what she had. "Let's do this one more time. I might die soon," she requested, but her body was too weak for sex, or for anything at all. Less than 2 years later, I saw myself on another deathbed, seeing another woman I cared about leave this world too soon. But I still had bills to pay, so I had to move on fast and find myself another sugar mommy. Sandra was the bored stay-at-home wife of an executive and a mother of three. She didn't have a funny personality, or any personality at all, like Samantha, but she was beautiful and her gifts were generous. I offered to cut her grass, and less than a week I was in her bed. She died within 6 months. Unlike Samantha, she had been stupid enough to put me on her will. Her family obviously accused me of murdering her, and I saw myself involved in police inquiries and the possibility of being accused of a crime I was innocent of, especially because my previous employer, too, was a woman who unexpectedly died. Once again, my good looks seemed to have saved me. The investigation concluded that Sandra had simply grown fond of me because I was too handsome, and I never admitted to having an affair with her. I started to realize that I was probably their casa mortis, even against my will. My mama told me a single detail about how she met my dad through her friend Scotia, who knew the strangest people. After combing through my mom's Facebook account, I was able to almost certainly find out where she was. She wasn't on any social media, but her pub was famous. I then traveled halfway across the country to meet her, with no further notice. Scotia's pub was old and smelled of salt water, but it had a certain timeless charm to it. I entered it, and during the dead hours of the afternoon, it was empty except for a woman with gaudy orange hair and a man old enough to be my great-grandfather, both cleaning the counter and some cups with damp clothes. "Are you Scotia?" I asked her. She nodded with little interest. At first glance, she was way too young to be friends with my mother from 20 years ago. But her eyes betrayed that she was almost as old as the other employee. "I am Daniel, Elizabeth's son," I announced as her eyes widened. "Close the pub, Richie," she ordered, and jumped in front of me with two long knives. "Not this shit again." "What do you mean?" I screamed instinctively dodged, knocking down a table in the process. I've never been in a fight my entire life. My body apparently knew how to react. "Are you here to fucking murder me?" she yelled back, now looking deranged. I then noticed she had a long scar on her neck. I won't let his spawn do as they please. I raised my hand, showing that I meant no harm. I just want you to tell me what I know about my dad. I won't do anything to you, I promise. "Huh, so a contract is still in place," she remarked. "Sit down, I'll grab two beers. It'll be long and painful and very enlightening." "Your mother was my best waitress here back in the day. She was almost like a daughter to me. You know, strange people come here all the time, but your dad was by far the strangest. Elijah was the human name he used. I didn't like him from the beginning, always too loud and rowdy. But everyone else seemed to love him. He was handsome, I can't deny, but yeah, I never fall for his charms because I have a certain condition. The condition is called being gay. So to charm me, he offered me eternal youth. I mean, I was a bit old already. Now it's been years, and I don't look a day older than 27. It's a good number. He chased all the girls in the pub, but they felt honored, so I didn't kick him out. You have a bunch of half-siblings out there, boy. Some of them ended up joining him and tried to kill me. Wait, I'm skipping some important bits. Your mother fell for him, but I was always keeping an eye on him. She was naive, and I didn't want him to break her heart. I didn't know he was a demon. I just knew he was strange and had sort of some mystic power. And a total whore, I guess. I wanted my best girl to find herself a fine man that could be hers and hers only. But they got together anyways. Lisa hid it from me for months, getting sick in secret. But at the same time that her baby bump started showing, she caught him with another gal in the restroom. Gross. I was so mad that I grabbed a few of my weird friends and swore to cut his dick off. We got him good, but he ended up charming most of my group and they gave up on hurting him, saying I was being unreasonable. I didn't, and I still had my knife on his balls. So fighting with him had been scary, so he made a second deal. He never hurt me or look for you, or even show his pretty face here again. And in turn, I let him go his way. It had been a long day, some long few weeks, I agreed. He He smiled mischievously and said, "But it's not on me if my other children do it. That's the last time I saw that son of Lucifer. But a few of his boys came to pester me in the last couple of years. Bunch of good-for-nothing decorative fucks. But you don't look like him. Their eyes are evil. You can see it clearly. Yours are not. In fact, there's a lot of him in you, but you look so much like her. I wish I could have seen you grow. Her grow as a mom, too. But I thought it was safer to send her to a distant place to start over. Thank you for all you've done for my mom," I muttered. "It's no matter. She was a pretty good girl." She finished her beer. "You look troubled, so let me guess. Killed some girl with your dick?" I nodded. Scotia laughed. "Sorry, the idea of a spoiled, infernal penis that drains the life out of people is too damn ridiculous," she explained. I laughed, too. "I have a lot of regrets about not cutting Papa's dick off, but on the other hand, it wouldn't be enough to save your mother from dying so young." She sighed, then patted my hand. "Let me say it now. I'm truly sorry for your loss. I did everything I could for her back then, and I can tell you that she really loved you and wanted to have you. I could have arranged some nice couple to raise you, but she refused. Not only because you'd be different or because you are his son, but because the kind person she was. That's the kind of person she was. Too kind and too hardworking." "Yeah, I know she was, but it's nice to talk to someone who knew her so well. I'm sorry you couldn't be there to say goodbye. I had no idea what kind of half-breed you were, or if Elijah would end up showing up there. I didn't want to cause a fuss and disrespect your family. And back then, your brothers were showing up all the time here," she sighed. "It was a pain in the ass, and a few times in the neck, too. Richie had to call a pretty strange friend of mine to bring me back from a day with Lady Death. Should I try contacting them?" I asked her, unsure. "My half-siblings, I mean. There's no one worth knowing, and they try to win you to their side. But I want to help you with what little knowledge I might possess about your kind. It's the least I can do for a son." Scotia stayed and then got up. She slid her hands behind the counter and grabbed a beat-down notebook. I beat the shit out of a brother of yours and questioned him. Here are the answers. Keep it. You might only know your pecora is poisonous now, but there are some hidden abilities that can be used for other people's sake. Scotia gave me a free lunch and sent me back to the airport, hurrying a crumpled paper beneath my fingers and saying, "You can keep contact, but please don't call just for small talk. I hate it." In the plane, I started reading through the notebook. It was in meticulous calligraphy that seemed to fit the waiter, Richie. I'm sure a woman like Scotia has ugly and sloppy writing, but the notes seemed to be perfect transcription of her words. "What's your name, fucker?" "Aaron." "Are you Elijah's son, you son of a demon?" "Elijah, yeah, that's the name Dad uses." "Did he send you here?" "I came of my own volition. I respect and follow my father unconditionally." "Blah, blah, blah. Did you hear that, Richie? This father could use some therapy. Tell me, you muppet, is your penis poisonous too?" "I mean, if I draw a woman's life force through intercourse, yes. Probably 5 years at a time. Not bad for such a great time, right? Would you like to try some?" "Not even if I wasn't a dyke, you sick fuck. I'm old enough to be a grandmother. Gross. Absolutely gross. I'm killing him, Richie. Could you do anything good with this knob of yours? We incubus are the keepers of nightmares. If I wished, I could eat one's bad memories through sexual contact. Do you intentionally kill the woman you put your venom sausage in?" "Rarely. It's just something that happens because we made them too happy and their body couldn't take it." "Don't worry, they're perfectly content being toyed with. It's truly a heaven experience for them." "So what's the fishy part?" "Being drained just a few years doesn't sound that bad. No one wants to get super old anyways." "And we're not that bad, madam. But if you want to know a small detail, after they die, we end up as owners of their souls. They're our pretty dolls, our pride and joy. Don't worry, we take good care of our collection, especially Dad." I had to throw up a few times after reading Aaron's detailed description of our father's otherworldly harem. We half incubus can go to his house during our sleep, while our father can switch between this world and his as he pleases. Every time one of his sons ends up killing someone, The soul is immediately added to his collection. They are slaves, doomed to serve the incubi for eternity. Now that I caused two women to die, they all know about me. And the two of them belong to my father. Worst of all, my beloved, kind, benevolent mother didn't go to heaven or whatever afterlife people like her have. She is imprisoned by him. A few years went by, I kept in touch with Scotia, and she even connected me with some of her weird friends. As far as I know, none of them are demons, but they're mostly half-breeds with something strange like me. And each has an uncanny power. Healing, superhuman speed, stuff like that. I still don't know why our pub was a hotspot for this kind of people. Scotia's friend helped me train my abilities and instructed me not to pursue my father until I was way, way stronger. Remember what you're dealing with. A half-breed like us is no match for the real deal unless we go prepared. I'm talking decades, especially if his offspring willingly acts as bodyguards. Orion, the healing witch, warned me. She had been a great mentor regarding training my mind. It became so much easier dealing with the nightmares that came with taking away the bad memories of my partners. You think each of my brothers is as strong as me? Maybe they're even stronger. I believe each soul they added to the harem gives them more power. Orion studied Scotia's notes to the point of being able to recite every word, and she figured out pretty much the whole extent of my power. The only thing we didn't know yet is how to access my father's house in the outer plane. I decided to continue being a sex worker to pay for my tuition, but instead of having a sugar mommy, I vowed to only have sex once per woman. A few times couldn't hurt, and a tall man with a cool eye patch advised me. He had been responsible for my physical training. People these days live, how long again, Orion? Over 70, maybe even 90 years? Holy fuck, that's too much. I'd beg you to bang me until I die in my 50s, still with a sharp mind. Orion finally pinched him. That's an awful thing to say to Dan. Sorry, it's just that my lifespan is a little different and my body and mind won't get much older than this. That's pretty much my only power, but I'm thankful to the gods. The idea of getting old and frailer is the thing that scares me the most. I didn't mind how insensitive Antha could be at times. He was almost like a father figure to me, and that made me prouder than being confident enough to dodge his wooden sword. Scotia, Orion, Antha, and a few other great strange folks from the pub went to my graduation. Besides Aunt Carly, they were the only family I had. What's the plan from now on, kid? Scotia asked me. I want to become a special kind of therapist. In my case, being a sex worker and psychologist are one and the same, I replied. Getting women to warm up and feel attached and feeling attracted to me was no problem. I'd be able to help so many people by eating their nightmares away. The only part I didn't like is when I had to break their hearts. No matter how much I told them this was professional, therapeutic, and a one-time thing, most of my patients still chase me, not only because the sex was good, but mostly because I made their pain go away. They felt free, weightless, and great, and they craved this feeling over and over. Over time, I had too many heartbreaking stories. All kinds of abuse, awful childhoods, abusive marriage, the loss of babies, everything you could possibly think of. I saw the worst memories my patients had to live with, and in order to heal them, I had to absorb those, tainting a bit of my mind and soul in the process. But I was a demon, an outsider, an aberration that shouldn't exist. Doing good stuff for others was the only way I could possibly atone for the fact that I was born, for the fact that I killed those two women that were so generous to me. For the traumatic memories you're describing me, I prefaced walking around my office, I can only offer a special therapy. However, I want you to be warned about the condition. I'd do anything, the patient Marissa replied. She was younger than me, wealthy and very pretty, and the weight that she carried was that her mother died when she was too young, and her dad then paraded literally dozens of girlfriends and wives at their home. Marissa never found someone she could trust. Some of these ladies hated and mistreated her because they wanted to have children with his father, and saw her as a child, as a mere rival for the inheritance. It seemed to mess her up severely, and she started doing drugs as soon as she could possibly put her hands on him. Marissa was fading. This was experimental therapy. We can only do it once. We'll do it as professionally and respectfully as possible. You'll have to sign a non-disclosure agreement, and my assistant will make a small video of her regarding or reading these terms for you again. To go ahead, you have to express your consent when she does so. You're allowed to enjoy yourself during the possession, but you absolutely cannot pursue it farther after it ends. If you need more psychological attention, you'll have to find yourself a new doctor. You will be exchanging 5 years of your future and having all of your worst memories removed. You will still retain other bad memories, such as being broke up with, losing a job, being in accidents, etc. It doesn't mean life will be perfect, it means that what hurts you the most will stop hurting. You have to provide your own means of contraception, and it has to be done without protection. In exchange, your doctor will provide his most recent bill of health. You also have to agree to taking care of everything on your own in case you end up pregnant. My assistant can provide you a list of useful services. It sounds like a whole lot of bullshit, right? But apparently if a good-looking man tells those to a woman that's desperate to get over her traumas, it's certainly very believable. This is more than concerning, but that's how I get to help people, so I have to accept that their circumstances for nearly everything will always be less than perfect. Most of my patients accept the conditions immediately. Some of them are not eligible for my sex therapy, if the trauma is related to sexual violence, for instance. But at least I am still able to be a good conventional therapist. After going through the legal stuff, my assistant schedules the special session, and the only thing left is doing it. Most of my patients are women starved for love, even if the sex is for professional purposes only. I try to make sure they are comfortable and into it before I start. They always are during it. What was her chosen form of contraceptive? I asked. Brithenia, my assistant, was reading a book of astrology. Brithenia was a second-generation half-witch, which means that she was an expert on healing and poisoning herbs, as well as other uses. But she didn't possess any inherited powers other than this predisposition to expel in such knowledges. She's already pregnant. I nodded. We wouldn't be offering her the complimentary tea for additional protection. Not long after that, Marissa showed up to my office. She was prettier than ever, wearing nothing more than a long coat over her expensive set of lingerie and thigh-high socks. You and all out, I complimented as I took her to the special therapy room. Marissa smiled radiantly. I'll particularly enjoy myself this time, I thought to myself. Sorting through her memories is no big deal. Her life is a mess, and I can see how it can affect a kid, but after all the violence I've been watching, it wasn't that bad. Marissa was raised by housekeepers, never being able to trust anyone. Between business trips and being a womanizer, her father was almost never there. She had an empty childhood, and the privileges brought by her social standing were clearly outshined by how lonely she was, and how much her stepmothers hated her. My mind went numb when I saw her father. He was the middle-aged, handsome type, ridiculously charming, no matter how bad were the things he tried to pull. And he looked an awful lot like me. Keeping the focus while fighting your own body and mind is one of the most difficult things there is. You have to stop, and you have to stop right now. But I'm a therapist. If I stop, I won't fulfill my job. And she's your sister. Stop. The worst part is that I'm fucking her already. Now I'm finishing it. It wasn't bad before you knew. But she was my sister before I knew. Half-sister, raised separately. See? Not bad. You have twisted values, Dan. What will it make me if I keep fucking her? A half-demon, just like you were before, and just like you'll be whatever you do. That's a good point. Great, now focus on that blood flow. What? I said focus on your penis, dumbass. She'll notice something's wrong if you go soft. Okay, I'm trying, but this is so unethical. Everything you do is unethical. That's your demon half, but it's for a good purpose. That's the part of that comes from Mom. Okay, things are already tough enough without thinking about Mom during sex. Sorry, just think about the best sex you've ever had. Oh, I'm thinking, but she died, and it was my fault. Hey, it wasn't completely your fault. Besides, that was not the best sex at all. You were just too young. Shut the fuck up, Daniel. Well, at least you were distracted enough to finish. I collapsed on the waiting room floor after setting her home. I was bawling. This was the only concrete lead about the incubus that killed my mother that I had in years. But if I wanted to dig out more, it meant doing something awfully wrong. Even for me. Besides, after I removed her worst memories, how would she perceive him now? And she was pregnant with a second generation half-demon. Should I do something about it? How dangerous will a child be? How dangerous is she? Someone knocked on my door. I jumped, afraid it was her. I don't want to see you anymore. I just want to die. Boy, are you there? I heard a familiar, deep, and respectable voice. It's Richie from Scotch's Pub. Can we talk? A sigh of relief. The old man didn't talk much, but he was the one who put together the only guide I had to my race. Talking to him would do more good than not. I opened the door. Thank God I was in the city. I felt a disturbance in the force. He chuckled. I brought out some whiskey. Let's talk until whatever made you this way makes sense. I nodded. Soon I was bawling again. Hold on. We have something about Incubus's daughter in the notebook. I'll find it for you. Is your bunch just you boys, or can your dad make females too? Father has had some girls, but they have no powers. They look good, and they are immune to the incubus effects. That's all. Oh, and they carry the genes. What about their babies? Are they like you? Look, I didn't go around being a good half-uncle, but I met an older half-sister of mine. She takes care of father's finances, and she had a boy. I think he was 11. He looked way better than other brats his age, and he lied like a pro, but I don't think he has access to the VIP lobby. What do you mean by immune to incubus effects? I asked in a panic. Does it mean that Marissa didn't lose her bad memories? I can't be sure. Maybe she just won't have her time stolen, which he suggested calmly. You'll probably have to send Bertha in to ask a few questions. I'm so confused. Help me, Richie, I whimpered. Okay, calm down, Dan. I think the most important bit here is that neither Marissa nor her child is dangerous to you or to others, right? And this VIP lobby thing, he said, it clearly means the place where the souls are kept, the harem. But we couldn't extract this piece of information from that boy, Aaron, for the life of me. I remember Richie talking to himself a lot, with the calm, majestic voice, and I'm ashamed to say that I fell asleep while he did. When I woke up again, my mouth was dry as fuck, and it was already sunny. I heard the sounds of Bertha shuffling with the keys outside the office and smiled at the little Schadenfreude. I completely butchered that. I'd experienced by scaring her with my presence. As soon as she opened the door and saw me, disheveled and drunk, she screamed, "Holy crap!" and quickly grabbed a taser from her purse. "Oh, it's you, boss. I thought a hobo invaded the office," she said. Voice still high-pitched, and started opening the blinds. "It smells awfully of booze here. What happened to you?" Marissa was actually my half-sister. She stood completely motionless, but the look in her face told me her legs are about to collapse. If you still have some of that whiskey, I'm needing it. We decided not to open that clinic today. We needed to talk about something. Anything made sense. Okay, so Elijah raised her. Did the rascal actually settle down for a while? Hell no, he was almost never home, and he was always with different women around. There must be a reason why he stayed, even if not staying, Bertha remarked. Yeah, but from what I can grasp, it was just that her mom is the rich one. You know what I think you should do? Analyze the memories you got from her. Try to locate any of these women, if they're mothers now. Then you go to this half-sibling of yours to gather more information. Your goal is to find this VIP lobby, right? My goal is to free my mother's spirit, hopefully everyone else's too. But how will I get the memories analyzed? Oh, you still don't know the memory witch, do you? You should contact Madame Scotia. I did, and she told me, and soon I and the pub owners were on a video call. Hey kid, long time no see, how are things? Awful. I had sex with my own sister, I replied bluntly. Scotia spit her beer and took her time laughing, then a spark of realization crossed her face. Oh, so you know she's your sister because you saw Elijah. It's impossible not to know he is him for someone who has seen your face, huh? I admit that when you walked in here, I thought it was him. Yeah, Bertha suggested I got the memories I stole from my half-sister analyzed and mentioned a memory witch. Her face distorted in displeasure. Yeah, I figured I'd introduce her to you one of these days. I'll send her there, but you won't like it. I'm half demon. I think I can handle it. I replied confidently. She shook her head lightly. Anything else? Just thank Richie for me. You came over last time and helped me so much. What do you mean you came over? You're 5 states away. Scotia looked puzzled. Yeah, but he was in town. No, Danny boy. Richie has been here yesterday, and he's here today. Sorry it's been a while. Things are spiraling into chaos fast, but I'll try my best to retell the facts to those that have been kind enough to pay attention to my story. After Scotia explained to me that Richie never left the pub and that he was only quieter than usual that night, we ended our video call, and I had more questions than answers. Who or what came to have a drink with me? But I didn't have a lot of time to give it some thought because I was visited by Scotia's most difficult friend shortly after. She barged into the clinic like a hurricane. I'm the memory witch, and I'm here because Scotia requested it. Don't ever use it, and don't ever contact me directly. She introduced herself in a sour voice. They had me sit on a chair to start what she came to do. The memory witch was easily the most obnoxious woman I've ever met. She was short and overall looked like a nerdy 15-year-old with stripped socks and a kind of goth lolly clothes. But on the inside, I'm pretty sure she was one of those stereotypically scary witches from Grimm's Tales. Eat it. She shoved something that looked and felt like a loofah in my mouth. Both my tongue and brain started feeling numb. She then set up one of those CRT TVs from the 80s beside me. How did she even bring that thing in here with her? Focus on sharing those specific memories with me. Do nothing else. Every single sentence she said to me sounded annoyed and downright rude, but she was the only one I had to help me with that, so I did my best to follow her orders. You, the memory witch looked at Bertha. Grab his hand. He'll need it. When the witch turned on the old TV, I felt like every nerve in my body was being hit by lightning. I was able to take a quick glance at the screen before passing out. In between the static, I could see Elijah and a woman. She was literally watching my memories like a movie. I woke up hours later into an orange room and realized that the sun was already setting. Bertha was sitting in the crazy darkness browsing the internet. Boss, shook it up and quickly hugged me. Thank goodness you're okay. It'll take me a while to forget your screams. What happened? She played Marissa's memories that were with you on that little old TV, like over and over for hours. You seemed to be in terrible pain and even passed out, but she didn't stop. She then met a woman named Saturn or something like that, and this other lady wrote down some things. She's also she's another powerful, strange person. I grabbed the paper. Dear Daniel, I'm sorry you were whimpering and drooling when we first met. Let's grab a coffee one of these days. My name is Mars, and I can determine a person's first name and their approximate location if I see a clear footage of them. Here's what I've got from your memory. It was then followed by a list containing 6 names. Each had a city, state, or country written near it. I'm already looking for them on Facebook, but, you know, it's not super helpful to search for an Aurelia in Portugal, Bertha explained. I think this one has a lot of potential, though. My assistant pointed to the screen. She was researching a woman named Magnolia in a very small town, a 2-hour drive from where we live. In this case, Google wouldn't be as useful, but we were both thinking the same thing. I'll go there, I suddenly decided. We'll close the clinic for 1 or 2 days until I find her. Want me to come with you? Bertha asked. I think you'll be more helpful tracking Marissa. She had no contact with her, our father, but maybe she'll look for him now that all the worst parts are forgotten. And when she does, I need you to be there. Bertha nodded. She was a truly loyal, helpful angel. I went to bed early so I could start driving before sunrise the next day. The next day came and I was incredibly anxious. This woman was an old flame of my father, so whatever she knew about him would be extremely useful and important to me. I'd use all my half-demon charm and tricks to get the information out of her, I promised myself, as I sat in my car parked across the main square under the drizzle. I figured it'd be the best way to find a local, at least until the weather decided to be against me. Defeated after waiting for 3 whole hours, which felt like days, when the only thing you're doing is carefully examining the faces of the meager passerbys, I decided to enter a cafe. There was another client inside, a woman in extremely old-fashioned but tasteful clothes. You couldn't see her face behind the giant intricate hat, but her hands were gloves, so she could be anyone of any age. "Here's your coffee, Magnolia," the woman said softly and turned to tend me. "Can you please lock yourself in the kitchen?" Magnolia asked softly. As she took off her gloves, her hands were incredibly young and pristine. "I believe I have a few matters to set with this young man." Her movements were set but powerful, quick but seamless. She was the most experienced fighter I've ever seen. And I saw some shit when it came to Scotia and her friends. And God, was she beautiful. Milky skin, the blackest hair, dark blue eyes, lips like petals, jawline like Sophia Loren's, the whole main heroine thing. Her first hit caught me completely off guard, so much that my only reaction was to fall from my chair under the weight of her elbow, pathetically trying to cover my head. It seemed to intrigue her. "You're not that much of a fighter," she remarked, and then covered the distance between the table and the door in a second, closing it with the tip of her boot. "I'm not taking any chances. As far as I know, you're just the bait." I shook my head no, still memorized and in disbelief. I never expected to be the prey in this exchange. In fact, I just wanted to get information out of her. I didn't mean to hurt her at all. "Explain yourself," she demanded, her galaxy-like eyes gleaming with authority. "Yes, as you guessed, I'm Elijah's son," I prefaced. "Elijah?" She laughed. "Oh boy, why would an adult man call himself that? But please proceed." I never met him in my life. My mother died at 40 and I hate him for that. I'm going around trying to gather information about him." Her eyes pinned to mine, she seemed to examine my soul. "I believe you. You don't reek of death, although. You've had some darkness in your path before you started doing well, huh?" I nodded. "Still, I have a lot to uncover before I can trust you. How did you find me?" "I saw you on the memories of a girl named Marissa Evans," I replied. "It was the only time she ever looked downcast in front of me. In my half-sister's memories, Magnolia was always covering her face. And she was the only woman who didn't mistreat or ignore Marissa. Instead, she betrayed her. Magnolia was good, almost like a motherly figure. And over the course of 4 months, the two of them bonded and became close. But one day, she simply left without saying goodbye, boiling anger and abandonment into the young girl's heart. The kid was such a side effect," she muttered. "Is she doing well?" "She's not, but I think she'll be soon," I replied simply. She shook her head. "Seeing me in that girl's memories, it isn't enough to track me. Explain yourself." She menacingly pointed her umbrella at me. I told her about the memory witch and her associate, as vaguely as I could to avoid uncovering their identities, while still providing her enough information to answer her questions properly. The corners of her mouth finally went up a little, showing she was satisfied with my answer. She then left the dollar bill over her table. "Follow me. Things are about to get stranger for you." Having a child with a man, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. We were sitting by Magnolia's living room. She lived in a manor, dark and old, but incredibly tasteful and even welcoming. "What did you do it then?" I asked. There's a complex answer for this, but it was because my council decided it was the only way. "You see, I am the head of my family and we're demon slayers," she replied bluntly. "Do you expect me to believe you?" Why wouldn't you? I did overpower you despite you being a half-demon, did I not? Fair point, but why did you have to go and have sex with the enemy? To have a son that's a demon slayer and who can access the realm of the Trivalcius clan, that's your father's name. I suppose you didn't know. I nodded, trying to assimilate the whole thing. She talked so naturally about slaying demons and raising her kid with the sole purpose of performing this clearly awful task that it made my head spin. And where's your son now? He's 14, still undergoing training. Do you love him? Don't you feel bad that you only gave birth to him to slay a demon? And what about the other children of Trivakite? What will you do to them? Well, to us. It's Trivaka Youth, she corrected me before taking a deep breath. Of course I love my son. Of course I don't feel bad that he was born with a goal. I was too. All my relatives were. It's unfortunate that his father had to be an enemy, but other than that, should it bother me? Despite the interrogative tone, she clearly didn't want an answer. She continued, I don't kill half-demons, I neutralize them. It means I kill only the demon part that lives in you. When I do it, you'll forget most of what you went through with your father, and you'll become a completely average man. No beauty, no charisma, no ability to drain people's lives or memories. Now you're only human. I never went through anything with my father, I muttered. Oh, so you don't know how to access his realm? She asked. I shook my head. I can tell you how, but I can see you're good-natured way more than my teenage son, so you won't like it. I assured Magnolia that she could tell me everything. She took a deep breath and then described a very sadistic ritual I should perform in order to call forth my father. It involved some ancient chanting, drawing a pentagram made of ashes, and covering myself out of woman's blood as an offer to him. There was no need to kill. Instead, he'd be the one killing the woman. But it was pretty dark. If he was happy with the offer, he'd invite me to his chambers out of this world, where he kept the souls of my mother and all the women he charmed and fucked in their lifetime, where I'd be part of his inner circle. You'd then enjoy a life of debauchery and eventually attack people before they attempt to get rid of your precious dad, she explains, but it seems that you have other plans. I certainly do, I replied. Can I ask you why? It's an easy life. Even my son might end up completing our mission, might end up giving up on our mission, to spend the rest of eternity enjoying himself. So why wouldn't you? I'll show you everything I know, I announced, and grabbed from my bag the little notebook Scotia gave me all those years ago. Magnolia read it with interest, taking pictures of the pages with her phone, and then writing a few notes for herself. From time to time, she punctuated the readings with O's, and that's terrible. I'm convinced that you're my ally, she said. Finally, then grabbed my hand. Now come here, it's my turn to show you everything I know. Magnolia gently guided me to her bedroom and started undressing. What her dress covered was a perfect shape packed in a perfect skin, even whiter and softer than the face and hands she had showed me so far. But she had to be at least 40, but her body was incredibly youthful. I know that what she was giving me this was the same I gave my patients, non-personal, dispassionate sex, but I still wanted it so badly and enjoyed it so thoroughly. She outdid me in everything I thought to be the best at. It would start taking the focus off her body and movements to focus on her mind. I'm ashamed to say I finished too quickly when I barely had started scrutinizing her memories. She smiled teasingly. It's a good thing that my lifespan is longer than most, so let's do it again and again until you grasp everything you need. Magnolia winked and then booped my nose. But try to get your job done instead of enjoying yourself too much, okay, hon? I nodded, almost entranced. It took me a while, but I finally managed to focus on her memories. She shared everything with me. I could see her whole life, but was unable to steal anything. I watched a 7-year-old Mongolia starting her demon lair training. The unnecessary cruelty, her innocent face bathed in blood for the first time. Her mother was like a war commander, rough and ruthless. She had to kill and kill and kill and kill, until she achieved perfection on every front. As puberty seeped into her already strong body and seasoned mind, It was time to start the training to seduce demons. It was easier to slay them when they were almost relaxed, she learned. So she had the terrible task of outwitting human males that were centuries old. Incubi are an exception to this rule. They are at their strongest during intercourse, and they will try to steal your memories. That's particularly true about Trevaka youth, her mother lectured her. Trevaka youth had killed Mangolia's older sister. This sister died a year before Mangolia was born, and her mother fiercely believed her second daughter to be the reincarnation of her first, a new chance to complete the mission she previously failed. And she wasn't taking any chances this time. Magnolia was the pride of a childhood, of a life in general, in order to achieve her mother's goal, a true obsession in their family. The mother compulsively researched about Trevaka youth until she learned why her first sprint had failed. It's not enough to kill his physical body. You have to destroy his core that lies in a second circle of hell. She then perished of an unknown illness, and Mangolia became the head of the family at 20. She spent the best part of her 20s searching for a Trevaka youth, and when she found him, the council decided that her only way to fulfill her mother's wish and Mangolia's purpose in life was to have a child with him, a male child, that would be specifically trained to slay his father. Usually the men in Mangolia's family specialize in haunting succubus or other female demons. Trevaka youth was charming and slippery, so she established that the best way to grab a hold of him was to make connections to his household. She became friends with his maids and bonded with his daughter. He was mesmerized by her, but his gut still told him she couldn't be trusted, so he used condoms. Mangolia poked holes in them and vanished as soon as her pregnancy test was positive. She couldn't risk having him find out her identity or that she had planned to birth the baby that would take him down. She was sure her lifelong enemy would do anything to either interrupt her pregnancy or kill its traitor child, either born or unknown. That was a strange week. After the first round with the Demon Slayer, I checked my phone to see if Bernatha had any news. It was the next day already. I had some lost calls from my reliable assistant, and then she left a voicemail. "Do you mind?" I asked Mangolia. She waved her hand, put on some clothes quickly, and informed me that she asked her housekeeper to make breakfast for two. I shouldn't leave the master bedroom until she told me so. I tapped the icon on the screen. Bernatha sounded nervous, like someone who rehearsed a line but had to say it before feeling ready. "So, boss, hey, I've been following Marissa since yesterday like you asked me, but no luck. I don't think she'll contact him for now. Listen, I have an emergency of sorts, so I'll have to miss work for a couple of days. I'm so sorry." "Don't worry about me, it's just some family thing." I tried calling her back, but no luck. I sighed, feeling alone. Despite me being with the most amazing woman I've ever met, this was business. At the end of the day, I considered Bernatha one of my only friends, and I couldn't help but worry about her if she didn't answer the phone like this. Still, since she specifically asked me not to worry, I decided to tend to more practical matters. After making a few calls, I was ready to close my clinic for a few more days. It would be hard to get anything done without birth anyways. Between watching the memories and discussing them with her, I spent a few days at the Mangolia at her place. Her son was at the family's farm, she told me, so I don't have to worry about this awkward half-sibling encounter. I'd be lying if I said these weren't some of the more pleasant days of my life, and I wish from the bottom of my heart that I could stay like this longer, even after everything was taken care of. My mind, too simple at that time, ignored that there's no after everything is taken care of for Mangolia. There's only more work to do. So, like a stupid fool, I asked her to date me. I even argued that she's the ideal woman for me since she won't have her memories stolen. I'm ashamed of myself. "Sorry, Daniel, you're sweet, but I didn't undergo this whole mind-crushing training just to date some half-demon 20 years younger than me," she replied with a smile that felt like a dagger. "Besides, we're allies for now, but if you stick around after we're done, I'll have to kill your demon part. You know my job becomes before everything else." I nodded, feeling miserable. "That's part of what makes you so perfect and great. So please go home and contact your friends who can help us. We'll need as much people as we can possibly fit inside the pentagram. Call me when you're ready to perform your initiation using me as bait. She accompanied me to the front door and waved politely as I made my way to my car, parked a little ahead in her street. It was raining again. I slid in the driver's seat and sat absentmindedly for a while, trying to process everything that had just happened, and everything that I'd just seen. Someone knocked in the window of my car. It was Richie. My instinct was to open it so I didn't leave the poor old man in the rain, and that's what I did. But as he feebly entered the passenger seat, his old and long legs taking a while to move, a fear took over me. What if this is not him, but someone impersonating him? You could cut my uneasiness with a knife as I watched him sit beside me and close the door, and my hand instinctively reached for a tool I hid in the back seat. Before you think I am some deceitful demon, I came here to explain something. I want you to know how I was there in your office the other night, and at the restaurant 5 states away. Since the cat is out of the bag, I had to tell Scotia too. I just stared at him, and inquisitively and confusedly. Call her and have the other me confirm my identity, and if you're suspicious, and you should be because you're in a tough spot. I did as he said. Sophia was unpleased with yet another video call. What's up, Danny boy? I hope it's something really important because you... The other witch was behind her, cleaning the counter with tedious movements. Scotia, please call the other me, the witchy beside me asked. She complied. The other witchy walked mechanically toward her and waved. His eyes seemed empty somehow. I can't believe I've known Richie for 40 years and I only learned his secret because of you, Scotia complained. You see, he has this cool ability. He can teleport his conscious to a specific species of animal he won't disclose, and then assume his normal form with it. His original body will be kind of in autopilot while his mind is away. Being half incubus, I'm a very good liar. And I like to think I'm good at detecting lies too. None of them seem to be lying or even pranking me. You can teleport anywhere in the world? I asked, letting my excitement about his power take over. My limit is the land being continuous. I could go to most places in Canada, but not, let's say, Hawaii. The witchy beside me replied patiently. Anyway, I'm confirming that this witchy is the real deal. Now, I'll let you guys catch up. I don't think I'm necessary here anymore, Scotia announced. Wait, I have some news. I learned how to access my father's otherworldly chambers, I told her bluntly. Even autopilot witchies seemed interested in this juicy information. I need your help to assemble a raid team, so I'm counting on your weird friends. She saluted me like I was, from now on, her commander. On it. And that is the finished series so far. I believe there's one or two more parts left, and then it's completely finished. But I'm going to tell you what I think about it so far. And yes, I am going to be doing the last parts when they come out. But I really, really like this story. Again, it's by Polinium Poisoning. Really, really good author. Makes some incredible stories. I want to tell you guys about a story, actually, that she made that I want to tell you guys about. So, give me 1 second. There's a story I wanted to read, which I didn't get permission for, but the story is called... Where is it? Hold on. It's called I Kidnapped My Younger Brother and Have Been Keeping Him in My Basement for Months. That's a really, really good story. I can't read it, but I can't, like, record it, but it's a great story to read. Go check it out. It's great. But it is tagged with sexual violence, so if you don't like reading about that, then probably not read that. But really, really good story. Really good. Same with this one. What I think about this story is it's really good. I really, really like it. Really well written. I really, really like it. I think I've already said that. I've already said that like 3 different times. I repeat myself a lot. But I overall really, really like this story. Really well made. I cannot wait to read the other parts. I don't know what else I was going to say. I'm really excited to see them going into his father's lair. Also, by the way, that clan name, I don't think I pronounced it right at all, so sorry if I did. I still have no clue how to pronounce that, by the way. That'll probably stay like that for a while. But I will leave this description. I will leave this series down in the description so you can go and check it out for yourself. And you can read it if you want after you're done listening to me. So, I think that's all. Yeah, so, overall, love this story. Go read it yourself after you're done listening to this. Anyways, that is all. Have a great day. Goodbye.